It's no secret that I'm pro-life. Personally, that's what I would like to see further embraced by America.
In the first 3 months, that decision should be left to the woman. Then the second 3 months, the government has a role. In the third 3 months, the weight of the government's input is on the fetus being carried.
I don't like the word atheist because to me it mirrors the certainty of religion. I preach the gospel of I don't know.
The church that cannot curse cannot bless. Our church must reject error precisely for the sake of affirming the truth of God's love in Jesus Christ for us, keeping that pure, keeping that clear.
We always like to hear from our listeners. That's a great thing about live radio, whether it be on the internet or over terrestrial radio. The great thing about it is being able to interact with your listeners. Friday's always set aside for intense listener interactivity. Doesn't that sound sterile? But it's, in fact, some of the best stuff we do here at Issues, etc. And one of our favorite things, we're not only happy because it's Friday, we're happy because we get a chance to hear from you, to talk with you, and to get your input. The first hour of Friday's Issues, etc. is always dedicated to listener interaction. Listener email kicks it off, then Issues, etc. blog of the week. Jeff picks his, I pick mine, and then Issues, etc. soundbite of the week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday, October the 10th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You'll need those phone numbers to play Issues, etc., soundbite of the week a little bit later. And our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can also vote that way, issuesetc.org. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Craig Hazen joins us to review Bill Maher's documentary, No, It's a Comedy, Religulous. He's from Biola University, not Bill Maher, but Dr. Craig Hazen. And then Dr. Ken Sherb will join us in advance of Columbus Day, which is celebrated on Monday. We'll be talking about the most important result of Columbus's discovery with Dr. Ken Sherb in about an hour and a half here on Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Lots of people have been using that email address. Let's get to some email, Jeff.
Kylie in Jackson, Wyoming writes, this past weekend at a get-together with our pastor, he told us of a soldier while serving in Afghanistan who came up to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod chaplain and said, "I think I am an LCMS Lutheran." The chaplain inquired about the soldier's thoughts since the soldier was not a Lutheran, and the soldier responded, "Well, I have been downloading and listening to Issues, etc., and I agree with all of it." So the chaplain catechized the soldier and confirmed him through an LCMS church close to his home in the United States. Again, another soul brought to life by hearing God's word through your program. Thanks for the email, Kylie in Wyoming.
Thank you very much. You know, this is not an unusual occurrence for us to hear about someone listening to this program and finding, at first they find things they disagree with, usually. And then they will email us, they'll call us, or they'll just keep listening. And in time, they kind of come around when the scriptural evidence is presented for the these cardinal truths of the Lutheran Reformation and all of the teachings, the rich biblical teachings that go along with them. Eventually, if they listen long enough, they begin to see the light, not the light of this program, but the light of God's word, of scripture that is taught here. Now, not all will decide to become Lutheran, but many will begin to question some of the other teachings that they may have been holding to. But it's always nice to hear that this radio program does precisely what it's designed to do. It is bring people to the knowledge of the truth, pure and unadulterated, from Holy Scripture. And it's great to hear it happening even in places far afield.
Some old listeners, or some new email from some old listeners, Rob in Freeport, Illinois, just discovered Issues, etc., went back on the air in July. Welcome back, a little late. I greatly missed the sharpening that Issues provides, and I can't wait to catch up. This is some of the best news I've heard in weeks. And then Greg writes, "So glad to have you back on the air. I was a longtime Roman Catholic listener while you were on KFUO, and I'm so glad I found you again. Thanks for doing what you do." Just some email we got this week from two listeners who just found out we're back on the air.
It's always good to have people discover that we're back on the air. And one of the things, it's very easy sitting here in the studio when you're in here doing this every day. And what is it now, Jeff, 4 months now, going on 4 months that we've been doing this?
It's what, about three and a half, would you
yeah,
say?
Three and a half, yes. On the 30th of this month, it'll be 4 months. And when you do it every day, you think, wow, who couldn't know? But of course, there are a lot of people who may have been aware of the cancellation of issues, et cetera, but unaware of its return to the airwaves on June 30th. I'm glad they're finding us. I'm very glad they're finding us. If you know somebody that was a little distressed by this and you think, you know, I never told them that I'm listening to the show again, it's back on the air, just go tell them. Email them. Thank you very much.
D in Minneapolis has a question. I love your website, but have a question. Is there a way, better way to search for a topic, speaker, etc.?
Oh, that's a good question. Search engines, we're in the works, if I read my other emails, my inter-office email correctly, we're in the works of trying to come up with a means of, can I even call it inter-office email since my office is right?
I was laughing. Inter-office email? Yeah. And our office is like 483 square feet.
Yeah,
do you get the inter-office? Craig likes to write memos.
You know what I picture?
Craig just writes memos all day. That's what he does.
I picture those old offices from the 30s and 40s where they would send things back and forth via the little pneumatic tubes. That's what we got here. Yeah, we got like a tube between the 4 inches of wall between me and Craig and the 4 inches of wall between me and Jeff. We actually communicate via email.
I like the threatening emails the best.
Oh, really?
Oh, they get the job done.
Well, I guess that's true. I guess that's true.
I just want to know why at KFUO and then why here am I always closest to the bathroom? Why is that? Why is that? I was always the bathroom during the showtime.
I just felt terrible for you.
And so, in all due respect, there were people there that didn't use the spray. Okay,
you mean the air freshener?
The air freshener, right. Whatever it is. And it's like, and now what? Why did I choose the office in back? That's right next to the bathroom.
I don't know, because we don't give you that problem here. We do not give you that problem here. I tend to run across the street to go to the bathroom. You ever wonder why I just run from the building suddenly from time to time?
I notice the older he gets, he does run a little faster when he runs out of here.
Well, you know, age has its...
We are working on a search engine, though, D, back to the...
Oh, yeah, okay, right. We are working on a search engine. We're going to try and work on one that actually works better than we had in our previous incarnation. The technology exists. It's just a matter of implementing it. So please be patient with us, because the longer we're back on the air and the longer our archives, the list of our archives grows... It's the more necessary it is going to be for our beloved on-demand listeners to have a way of searching the audio for topics, for guests, and other ways. And there are ways to do this. We will find a way of doing it.
James in Illinois was talking about how we often bring up the relationship between slavery and abortion, and that as a result of to eliminate slavery, we had the Civil War. So he's got a question. We now wish to make abortion illegal, and certainly abortion is an horrific evil and a sin against our children, such that I do not know how we could not make it illegal. But we are also not part of a society that has departed from any Christian consensus, a weak and selfish society with deeply polarized views, stiff-necked, if you will. What civil war will we bring down upon ourselves in making abortion illegal? Or what new and unexpected evil might we draw into our midst in attempting to eliminate this one? Thanks for the email, James.
Well, it's a great question. It really is. And I don't think it's meant facetiously. I think, remember, the law of unintended consequences, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the program with Dr. Ken Sherb, the law of unintended consequences is always in force. And so the best intentions can sometimes bring about the worst results. Now, this should not paralyze us. We cannot guarantee results. Regardless of what every church growth guru out there tells you, you can't guarantee results. You cannot plan your way to a future. God has his plans, and he executes them regardless of what we think we're up to. But that should not stop us from trying to render illegal, in some shape, matter, or form, the great travesty of abortion. It should not stop us. Will there be a lot of blowback from trying to do that politically and socially? Yes, there will be. So we need to proceed intentionally, deliberately, but also cautiously, being aware of the law of unintended consequences. But of course, similar arguments could have been made back 150 years ago about slavery. What's going to happen if we try and eliminate slavery? You know what did happen? It broke the country in two. It cost that and other issues, of course. It cost lives, the number of which we have never been able to repeat in all the wars we've ever fought. It shed a lot of blood. It ended slavery, and it wounded the nation. And I don't know. Let's look at the emailer's question this way. Should we have tried to avoid the great war between the states? Because it was going to be one of the unintended consequences of ending slavery. Should we have opted rather to simply allow slavery to continue, legal and free, and expanding within our borders? Because it might have cost the nation a time of severe turmoil and bloodshed. I guess that's my only response. All right, when we come back from this break, we'll go through some more listener email. Then we got Issues Etc. blog of the week. Jeff has his pick. I have mine. We don't consult each other beforehand. And then we have Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That means it's your turn to pick which of our four soundbites we will lay before you at the bottom of the hour should be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got a soundbite from Uwe Simonetto, his outside perspective on our political system as we near a presidential election. Jennifer Roback Morse on what she calls, I think she calls it the radical abortion on demand movement. And then we also have an soundbite from Dr. Arthur Just on where Jesus is to be found. And one from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, just a little family interaction on Issues Etc. It's coming up on the other side of the break. More email, blog of the week, and soundbite of the week. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Milton Horst, Bruce and Ramona Cross, Josiah Jones, Jason Havemeyer, Matthias Quint, Kirby Thoe, Jonathan Clark, Robert Gruenhage, Eric Jensen, and Richard Brown. Thanks for your support.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor John Pless, on Treasury of Daily Prayer.
No doubt that it will become a devotional classic, the likes of which American Lutheranism has not seen. It is a literary testimony to the spiritual vitality of confessional Orthodox Lutheranism.
A Christ-centered, cross-focused family devotional, Treasury of Daily Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California, Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org. Can I inquire what this is about? This was not on any of the logs that I reviewed and approved before the program.
You do not know what this song is?
It sounds like a long, long way to Tipperary to me.
No, it's the Missouri Tiger fight song.
Oh, I should know this.
Hooray,
now.
Hurrah, Mizzou, Mizzou, hooray, hurrah, and a bully for old Mizzou, rah, rah, Mizzou, rah, Mizzou, rah. Now, just wanted to let you know, Mr. Football Sports Fan, my Missouri Tigers, my alma mater, number 3 in the country. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Number 3 in the country.
You must be proud.
Now listen to this. Listen to this. I bring this up because there's a connection between you and me on this. So they're number 3, okay? Texas, your home state, the Longhorns are ranked number two in the country.
That's right. Good old UT.
All right. Number one is Oklahoma. Texas plays Oklahoma this Saturday. Should Texas beat Oklahoma?
Hey, Jeff, you want me to play that again?
No, that's all right. That's all right. Should Texas... Yeah, an endless loop. An endless loop. Should Texas beat Oklahoma this Saturday and Missouri beat Oklahoma State, okay, Texas meets Oklahoma or Missouri next week at Texas, it would be number one versus number two a week from this Saturday.
That's
Missouri
hard to...
at Texas.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
So they're going to go all the way down to Austin.
They're going down to Austin. And Texas would be number one, Missouri would be number two, but both of them have to win this weekend.
All right. So what are the chances of that realistically, since I don't follow college ball?
Well, I don't think Texas is going to be Oklahoma tomorrow. I do think Missouri is going to be Oklahoma State because Missouri's at home and they're favored, and I think Missouri's going to win, but I don't think Texas will beat Oklahoma tomorrow.
That's a, I mean, that is a rivalry, you know, the clash of the
historic
Titans.
Historic rivalry.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I remember when Barry Switzer was hired as... For like 1 week, I think it seemed, the head coach of the Cowboys. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, they
coming
won a Super
down
Bowl.
From Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and they no one knew what to do, and he did take him to the Super Bowl.
I was talking to somebody who lives in San Antonio that was over my house this weekend, and he said they even though he won a Super Bowl, they still hate him in Texas.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he won a Super Bowl for the Dallas Cowboys, and they still hate Barry Switzer. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me?
Some things can't die. He could have come down there and parted the Red River and led the people of Texas across on dry land, and they still would say, you know, that's good, but we just can't stand the guy.
Yeah, Davy Crockett didn't win a Super Bowl. All right, back to email. Mark writes this about our show on Word Faith earlier this week. My question is the Word Faith teaching. About the Word Faith teaching, what is our expectation of God? And if God is as we picture him to be, what then do we actually receive from God? Haven't we made faith a work of the law? Isn't our expectation then that God is a judge?
Okay, I need you to clarify this, Jeff. Is he asking this from if someone believed the Word Faith teaching? Or is he asking, what do we believe instead of the Word Faith teaching?
He's asking if somebody believes the Word Faith teaching, and this is their picture of God.
Oh, I mean, they don't even have God as a judge. I mean, that's imposing something on the Word Faith. Now, they would talk about God being judge, of course, but for them, primarily, God is, he's a rather impotent deity who's been locked out of his own creation by man's fall into sin. They believe that at the fall, man deeded the universe over to Satan, and Satan now rules everything. And God is locked out without the keys. At the fall, Satan said to God, hand over the keys, and God had to give them because man had been put on earth as God's representative. And since man had said, no, I don't want God in the universe, I want Satan in the universe, then God had to hand over the keys. This is the Word Faith teaching. So God's locked out of his own creation, rather impotent. He can't even act in his own creation unless man exercises words of faith, confesses positively, as they say. And then God is given a tiny entree into his own creation to do his thing. But unless man exercises words of faith, God can't do a thing, which is why they're so big on positive confession. And of course, negative confession just pushes God further away from acting in his universe. It's a very impotent picture of God. It's a very insufficient picture of God. And it goes all the way, if you would permit me just a moment, it goes all the way to the incarnation and the atonement itself. The consistent Word Faith teachers believe that when Jesus took on human flesh, they do believe that Jesus is second person of the Trinity. Although some of them have more than three persons in the Trinity. Benny Hinn has nine for some reason. But they do believe that Jesus took on human flesh, and then they believe that he acted only as a man. That he completely laid aside his divine nature and acted only as a faith-filled man, even at the cross. They say that he died only as a faith-filled man, and that when he went down to hell and suffered hell, for some reason, they think he suffered hell rather than proclaimed victory in hell, and then was born again out of hell as the first faith-filled man, the first born-again man. I mean, this is strange stuff. So you have Jesus hanging on the cross, only a man. And only a man can't pay for your sins. It must be God and man. It is a very perverse picture of God that that wends its way into every teaching of Christianity.
So Mark's question, does the Word Faith movement make faith a work of the law?
They wouldn't say it does, but it certainly does. It makes faith man's work and entirely man's work. God can't have anything to do with it. And if you say to them, isn't God the object of your faith? They will just look at you with a confused expression because they don't understand faith as something that looks outside you and depends on God. They view faith as a force that you exercise. Yes, a work of the law, in other words.
Dave in West Virginia, if my pastor advocated sending text messages during the sermon as a Q&A thing, I would get up and leave. That isn't what the sermon is for. Actually, I like my pastor. I might stay, figure out how to send a text message, and send one reminding him that in the sermon he's supposed to proclaim the word to our congregation. I'd follow it up with an email to the elders with the same reminder. If it happened again, I'd leave. The sermon is not a question and answer session. It is a session of God's answer applied to me. I know the question already. I need to hear the answer, even though I've heard it many times. Thanks, Dave, for the email.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. Picking up on a conversation we had some time back during Open Lines, a pastor who is trying this text message me during my sermon. Look, I have a teenage daughter, and the only way that they communicate now electronically is via text. They very seldom talk to one another on these very expensive phones they have. And just a couple weeks ago, last week, I got her one of these phones that has the little regular keyboard on it, just like a tiny, tiny computer keyboard. And now she can text faster and more voluminously than ever before. The pastor's text shouldn't be coming over his cell phone or messages from his people during a sermon. The pastor's text should be Scripture. You know, there's a "here endeth the text" from the very old liturgies of the church, where the pastor would read the biblical text that he was going to preach upon before he preached, and he'd say, "Here ends the text." Now, this text messaging during sermons have given a whole new meaning to that phrase, and suddenly the text is no longer the Bible, but the people's ideas, notions, and questions. Let the word of God be heard. There are other times and other places for our questions and our comments to be heard. Hey, radio is a good time for questions and comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Smartest listeners in radio.
Bethany in Boston, go Red Sox. Thanks for the episode you did with Pastor Peppercorn on depression, and thanks to Pastor Peppercorn for having the courage to talk about his struggles. Depression and other mental illnesses run very strongly in my family, and I'm familiar with having to deal with the shame involved, especially in a church context. Personally, I have an anxiety disorder that often manifests itself as obsessive-compulsive disorder. Luckily, I have virtually no symptoms today due to regular therapy and medication. Perhaps you could do a show similar to the one you did with Pastor Peppercorn, only this time discussing anxiety disorders, which are different than depression. Thanks again for the show, which I downloaded and listened to while walking to work, and thanks for loving your on-demand listeners like me. Thank you, Bethany, from Boston.
Oh, and we do love our on-demand listeners. Words cannot express how much we love our on-demand listeners, a growing group of people, and whenever they listen, wherever they listen, we love them. We would have to find somebody, Jeff, wouldn't we, who could speak to the particularities of something like anxiety disorders or OCD and all of these other complex of problems that people, even Christians, suffer with. And that would really be the only obstacle for us doing that, is finding someone who could deal with that in a more professional way. I'm thinking about Bev Yonke or someone else who might have some expertise or be able to recommend someone with some
expertise. Pastor Peppercorn is going to come back on again to talk about anxiety. He suggested it and has received several emails from that, so he's going to come on and talk about it.
That's a great idea. I'm glad to hear it. Any more email out there, Jeffy?
Okay, got to make it quick. We're about a minute and 20 seconds to break. Sharon in St. Louis, regarding a discussion yesterday in the Fourth Commandment, it takes humility to honor one's father, mother, master, etc. Whenever we overstep our authority is when we break the commandment, it seems to me.
Well, she's quite right, and I think the connection of humility there is important. Humility is listed as one of the virtues in Scripture, but it is also another way of talking about love. The word submission, another way of talking about love. You know, when we're told in Scripture that the entire law is summed up with the word love, think about it that way. However you would put any obedience to any of the Ten Commandments, especially those in the second table that refer to your neighbor, whatever word you would put to them to summarize them, just a synonym when it comes to your neighbor for the word love. And only Christ is loved perfectly on our behalf. When we come back, Issues Etc. Blog of the Week.
I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone. I'm a going home. My baby just woke me a little.
The toilet seats are always up at LPR. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Ron Revels, Edward Reinke, Matthew Catalano, Gerard Smith, Edwin Deppenbrock, Christine Hintz, Francis Xavier Mooney, Richard Brown, Luke Dreheim, and Madeline Weitenbruger. Thanks for your support.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The British government offers every pregnant woman screening to see if they're carrying a baby with Down syndrome. Each year they find and kill close to 700 babies who have the disorder. But in the process, the invasive testing they do also kills an additional 400 babies who are perfectly fine. They insert a needle through the abdomen and into the womb to take a sample of amniotic fluid or tissue. 2% of women go into premature labor and the baby dies. Members of the medical community in America have recommended all pregnant women be screened for Down syndrome. The British experience shows the human lives lost far exceeds just the babies they're hunting for. All babies are precious in God's sight and should be protected. We don't need this screening.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.